This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
It's been years since anyone thought Prince Andrew could sink any lower, but Washington just opened the trapdoor a little wider on the man formerly known as Prince. Some of you just got that. Some of you did not. The man formerly known as Prince. Remember Prince the artist? Well, in the 90s, he changed his name to a symbol, and for a long time, we had to call him the man formerly known as Prince. There we go. Now we're all up to speed. The U.S. House Oversight Committee, yes, the same committee that spent the last year combing through every inch of Jeffrey Epstein's financial and social web, has now made a formal request for Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, because he's not Prince Andrew anymore, he's the man formerly known as Prince, to appear for questioning under oath. They want him to sit in a room, face a congressional transcript, and explain exactly what he knew about Epstein's trafficking operation, when he knew it, and who else he helped along the way. And you'll get a lot of, I know nothing. The letter, dated November 6, 2025, isn't a casual invite. It's signed by 16 Democratic members of the committee, including Congressman Submarinium, the same lawmaker who's been meeting with Epstein survivors behind closed doors on Capitol Hill. And the language isn't vague. They're asking for a transcribed interview to cover Andrew's personal involvement with Epstein, his visits to properties in New York and the Virgin Islands, his presence on private flights, and most notably, his name appearing in Epstein's financial ledgers besides notations like, "Massage for Andrew." Those three words might as well be a detonator. This isn't gossip, and it's not a tabloid expose. It's an official congressional inquiry that cites evidence, documents, and firsthand survivor accounts. The committee has already received 17,000 pages of financial records from the Epstein estate, and according to the letter, those documents are raising more questions than they answer. Among them, why Andrew's name appears multiple times in ledgers tied to payments for massages. And why those entries align with the same time period when Epstein's trafficking ring was at its peak. The committee also points to something darker, the possibility that Andrew tried to retaliate against one of his accusers. They reference allegations that he asked a royal protection officer to obtain the personal information of Virginia Giuffre, the young woman who accused him of SA when she was 17. Investigators in London have reportedly reopened that piece of the puzzle to determine whether Andrew sought to dig up dirt on her to undermine her credibility. For Congress, this isn't about embarrassing a disgraced royal. It's about following the money and exposing the system that allowed a trafficking billionaire to trade in currency of human lives while collecting powerful friends as insurance. And Andrew wasn't some peripheral acquaintance. He was central to that network, a man who kept dining with Epstein after Epstein's 2008 conviction, after the world knew what he was. According to newly uncovered flight logs, Andrew flew on Epstein's jet several times between 1999 and 2006, years that overlapped directly with Epstein's most active period of abuse. The logs list him alongside Ghislaine Maxwell, remember her, Club Fed, Epstein's pilot and his chef. One 2000 flight shows Andrew traveling from New Jersey to Palm Beach, another in 06 from London to Edinburgh. And that's before we even touch the infamous photograph of Andrew with Virginia Giuffre in Ghislaine Maxwell's London townhouse, an image he once claimed might be fake because he supposedly doesn't sweat. Congress isn't interested in his sweat glands. They're interested in evidence. They're also interested in the emails. One in particular stands out, an exchange in 2011, long after Epstein's first conviction, where Andrew wrote to Epstein, "We are in this together." That line alone obliterates years of palace spin claiming Andrew severed all contact with Epstein. It suggests something much more intimate, a partnership of secrecy and survival. So what happens now? Well, realistically, Andrew probably won't cooperate. He's a foreign national with no obligation to appear before a U.S. committee, and his lawyers know it. The likely move is a polite refusal, maybe a written statement on letterhead denying any wrongdoing, maybe nothing at all. But that won't make this go away. Congress can't issue an international subpoena, but they can release the evidence they already have. They can hold hearings, publish transcripts, and more importantly, refer their findings to the Department of Justice. They can keep Andrew's name in every headline, in every search engine result, until he's dead. And so can we. And reputationally, that's a slow-motion execution. Sometimes the best. Remember, King Charles III just stripped Andrew of every royal title left to his name. No more prince. No more His Royal Highness. What's left is a man who can't hide behind a velvet rope anymore. The monarchy already distanced itself. Now Congress is turning the spotlight from tabloid scandal to a potential criminal complicity. Because that's essentially what it is. And here's where the story turns from one man's disgrace to something much larger. The House letter references survivor testimony indicating that Virginia Giuffre may not have been the only woman trafficked by Andrew or to Andrew. Congressman Samaradian said it outright. We have reason to believe there are others. The committee isn't guessing. They're following leads from women who have already testified in private sessions. One of them might be the unnamed woman first reported by the Mail on Sunday. Woman Epstein allegedly introduced to Andrew by email in 2010, writing, I have a friend I think you'd enjoy having dinner with. Andrew's reply, would be delighted to see her. Whether that meeting happened hasn't been publicly confirmed, but the email exists, and the tone is unmistakably familiar. It's the casual arrogance of men who believe the world exists to serve them, who treat women as entertainment arranged through mutual friends. Add to that the testimony of Joanna Soberg, another Epstein survivor who swore under oath that Andrew groped her in 2001 at Epstein's Manhattan townhouse. She wasn't trafficked to him in the same way Giuffre was, but her account points to a pattern of behavior, one that fits squarely within Epstein's ecosystem of exploitation. Here's the uncomfortable truth. The likelihood that Virginia Giuffre was the only victim linked to Andrew defies everything we know about Epstein's operation and predators in general. Epstein didn't work in one-offs. He cultivated powerful men, surrounded them with vulnerable young women, and used the resulting secrets as leverage. It was transactional and relentless. If Andrew accepted one introduction, it's hard to believe he stopped there. The House panel clearly doesn't believe he did. When you zoom out, you see the pattern. Flights spanning nearly a decade, financial entries labeled massage. It's a massage. It's just a massage. Emails after conviction, continued social content, survivor statements pointing to additional women. If you were building a case file, that's a cluster of smoke signals to way too dense to ignore. Whether or not it culminates in new charges, it's enough to keep investigators digging and public opinion solidly against him. And that's exactly what Congressman Samaranian and his colleagues are doing, digging. They're tracing money, flights, property records, and communications. The Epstein Estate's cooperation has already delivered 17,000 documents. Each one could link a payment, a travel date, and name. And if those ledgers show more than one massage to Andrew, we're not looking at coincidence anymore. We're looking at a pattern of purchase. For survivors, this isn't just about Andrew. It's about validation. That someone in power finally takes their accounts seriously. That Congress is treating their trauma as evidence rather than tabloid fodder. Epstein's death in 2019 left his victims without the course of a full trial and the closure that may come with it. Maxwell's conviction filled part of that void, but the men, the so-called friends of Epstein, mostly slipped away untouched. Now, that may be finally changing. The Oversight Committee's inquiry is built on a simple logic. Follow the money, follow the power. It's why they've requested testimony, not only from Andrew, but from his former royal protection officers and even his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson. The idea is to reconstruct the environment around him, the travel, the security arrangements, the people who saw what the public wasn't supposed to see. One retired officer who accompanied Andrew to New York in 2010 has already said publicly, "If Congress wants to speak to me, then Congress can speak to me." That alone tells you the wall of silence is cracking. There's a bigger cultural shift happening, too. When the Epstein story first exploded, accountability stopped at the edges of money and influence. Epstein was dead. Maxwell was in prison. The rich and royal connections faded into background noise. But now, with a congressional spotlight on them, the narrative shifts from personal scandal to systematic abuse. It asks a harder question. How many powerful people knew? And how many participated? For Andrew, that question is existential. He spent years pretending the problem was optics. Wrong place, wrong time, bad judgment. But had bad judgment? Bad judgment doesn't show up in a financial ledger labeled "Massage for Andrew." Bad judgment doesn't write, "We are in this together," to a convicted sex offender. At some point, the pattern stops looking like friendship and starts looking a lot like complicity. Legally, he's shielded for now. The U.S. can't extradite him without cooperation from the U.K., and no criminal charge has been filed. But politically and socially, he's radioactive with a half-life of 1,000 years. The British public long ago turned on him. Charity severed ties. Even his mother, the late queen, pulled him off official duty. The last shreds of dignity he's clinging to exist only because he hasn't been forced to answer questions under oath. That's the sanctuary the House Oversight Committee is trying to take away. Imagine that moment. Andrew, seated before a congressional panel. The microphone's hot. The record permanent. Every evasion frozen on paper. Every contradiction lined up beside the documents. It's the one thing he fears more than prosecution: exposure without control. That's why his lawyers are likely drafting polite refusals right now, citing jurisdiction, privacy, maybe even national security sensitivities. But the optics of refusing to cooperate with the trafficking inquiry are brutal. It signals guilt, even if it isn't legally binding. And what about the victims who can't speak for themselves anymore? Virginia Giuffre's death this spring left a silence that Congress is now trying to fill with facts. She spent her adult life fighting to be believed, fighting to hold the rich and powerful accountable. That fight didn't die with her. It's written into every line of this investigation. The committee's message to Andrew is straightforward. If you did nothing wrong, sit down and prove it. They're not threatening. They're offering him a stage he claims to want, the chance to tell his side. But if he refuses, they'll move forward without him. As Congressman Subramaniam said, even if he doesn't tell us what he knows, we'll find the documents. We'll get to the bottom of this. It's the first time in years anyone with authority has said that sentence out loud about Epstein's circle. And that matters because the survivors have heard every excuse. He's royalty. He's too old. It's too complicated. None of those excuses hold up under subpoena power and financial forensics. Once Congress starts piecing together ledgers and emails, privilege starts to look a lot like obstruction. Could this lead to criminal charges? Possibly. That depends on what the paper trail shows. If payments, travel records, and witness testimony converge into a clear pattern of trafficking or solicitation, the Department of Justice could open a criminal probe. The odds are long, but not impossible. And even without charges, the moral verdict is clear. Andrew has already lost everything that mattered to him, except the one thing he can't buy back: credibility. There's also the question of Sarah Ferguson, who's reportedly on the committee's list of potential witnesses, not because she's accused of wrongdoing, but because she may hold context. What Andrew told her, how often Epstein's name came up, what she saw behind the curtain of denial. She's publicly defended him for years under oath. That defense becomes testimony. The committee knows exactly what it's doing. This isn't just about a fallen royal. It's about accountability creeping up the ladder of power. The Epstein network thrived on silence, on the assumption that no one would dare challenge a duke, a CEO, or a politician. But with Epstein dead and Maxwell convicted, the next layer of protection is cracked. Congress is treating Epstein's world the way organized crime investigators treated the mafia. Start with the money, flip the associates, and keep climbing until you hit the top. For Andrew, that climb ends squarely at his doorstep. The ledgers, the emails, the flights, all roads lead back to him. And the more survivors come forward, the more less plausible his "I don't know" defense becomes. It's the same pattern we've seen in every powerful predator's orbit. From Weinstein to R. Kelly to Epstein himself, the friends who didn't know until the evidence was too public to deny. Right now, the safest prediction is that Andrew will not appear. He'll let lawyers issue denials while his team quietly hopes the news cycle moves on. But it won't. Not this time. The investigation is too public, the documents too damning, and the survivors too determined. Every refusal will just push Congress to dig deeper. And every new record will tighten the circle around him and the noose around his neck. When people say no one is above the law, it usually sounds aspirational. In this case, it might finally be literal. Because once congressional committees start connecting royal privilege to financial transactions in a trafficking operation, the old excuses crumble. The palace can't shield him. Diplomacy can't sanitize it. This isn't Britain quietly managing a scandal. It's the United States demanding answers under oath. And if history tells us anything, Andrew will fight transparency until the last possible second. But the truth has a way of leaking out. Epstein's financial empire was built on precision, records, receipts, names, and dates. That's the same precision that will undo him and anyone connected to him. So here's where things stand. Congress has drawn the line in the sand. Andrew has until November 20th to decide whether he'll step across it or hide behind what's left of his title. Either way, his silence will speak volumes. And for once, the survivors aren't the ones who have to explain themselves. Maybe the royal family will try another round of move on. Maybe the tabloids will pivot back to palace weddings and coronations, but that won't erase the stain of congressional letters demanding accountability from a man once called his Royal Highness. Because if the Epstein investigation proves anything, it's that wealth and lineage can delay justice, but they can't bury it forever. In the end, it may not be a courtroom that delivers Andrew's reckoning. It may be a stack of congressional documents read aloud on the record, under oath, a transcript that outlives every royal spin and every palace statement. And maybe that's fitting for the man formerly known as Prince. For years, the victims were forced to tell their stories to anyone who would listen. Now it's Andrew's turn. The difference is this time, someone's actually listening. What do you think's going to happen? Is this going to disappear into the ether, just like the DOJ's investigation into Epstein? What power will Congress have to dig deeper into this, to expose and to possibly charge monsters like the man formerly known as Prince? Not that one, this one. I don't know. We live in a very, very strange time. One where, on one hand, more of these monsters are being exposed, at least we think they are. And on the other hand, we're seeing a lot of levers of power being pulled very strongly, very plainly, very obviously to protect them without accountability. Give me your thoughts in the comments. If you're not already there on YouTube, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and that is where you will find us. Do that same search wherever you get podcasts. That's where we live as well. And in nightmares, we also live there because that's what we talk about half of the time. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.